Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. You are listening to episode 1719 here at Radio Free Redoubt. Monday. This is a Monday that we are putting this up because we got delayed. Most of you already got the word about that. Yesterday, right as I was getting ready to put the final touches on the show, I got a text saying, hey, we need to have a meeting right away. And on Sunday night. Now, come on. So anyway, we had a meeting with several leaders in the Patriot community talking about some of the issues that we're faced with, how rapidly things are accelerating and how badly they are. Word on the inside is that some folks are actually thinking about what happens if they move forward with trying to impeach Trump, overthrow him, whatever. So he ends up dead. He ends up impeached. One way or the other, they want him out in a bad way. And then we've got this rising communist revolutionary threat. We'll talk a little bit about in the show here. And just kind of what our action plan is and responses to various different types of scenarios. And it wasn't, you know, an emergency meeting. It was just an unscheduled meeting, and it was one where the most amount of people could make it last night. Any other night over the next 2 to 3 weeks would reduce the people able to attend, you know, to about half to a third because of various different busy schedules. So that's why we had to delay that last night, the show. So sorry about that. Also, it's my understanding that there was some problems with the audio feed, the internet connection. So here we are back to square one trying to fix that. Someone said, I don't know if I can listen anymore. It's just too much, too difficult, too confusing and frustrating. Well, okay, if we're running into those types of issues and you can't listen on Sunday evening, and we are, trust me, you think you're frustrated. I'm definitely very frustrated when that happens. So I am constantly trying to find a solution for that. And sometimes it works great. Sometimes it doesn't. I don't know why. But anyway, thank you for letting me know. And instead of saying, I'm so frustrated, I just don't think I can listen anymore, how about going to the Podbean and say, look, if that's going to send people over the top or they get frustrated, there's actually only one person said, oh, it was so frustrating, I don't think I can listen anymore. But hold on a minute, brother. We are about ready to go into some very trying, turbulent, challenging times ahead in our country. Okay, now right now is a really good time to train yourself to shrug when things don't go exactly how you want them to. Even when they're frustrating, we need to adapt and find a way to overcome. Now, there is a way to overcome that if the Sunday night podcast doesn't flow well like we want it to. We upload all of our shows to Podbean, and it's a clickable link right there, how to listen on RadioFreeRedoubt.com. You can go and listen to it on the Podbean uploaded. It's just not live streaming, but there it is in all its glory, ready for you to listen to or download or share. So if the Sunday night show doesn't work, don't worry. It will be uploaded. So you don't have to run off and stop listening or, be a former Radio Free Redoubt listener if it doesn't work out on Sunday night. So technology, it's a love-hate thing. It's definitely a two-edged sword. But anyway, we're blessed by it. And we have to just roll with the punches when things don't go well. Thanks, guys, for listening to the show yesterday or Saturday. on KTW. That was a good one. I was pretty worked up, as most of you know by now, and for good reason. So that has to be said. And you know what? We're going to actually, I want to ask you right now, those of you who have made the move to the American Redoubt, those who have gotten out of occupied territory, I want your stories. I want to hear your stories in several different formats. Okay, first of all, I want to make it very clear to those who don't understand what the American Redoubt is, this is the opportunity for those who don't know to get to know who is in the American Redoubt. Is it the American Redoubt, a religious prepper movement? Or is it, more truthfully, Christian conservatives who are absolutely overran where they are, that are trying to leave the oppression to move to where it's free and to be around others in a conservative stronghold? No matter what happens in the future, whether there's doomsday, the collapse, or our culture just continues to slowly decay, and you want to be here for that reason. I want to hear your stories. You can send them in. Doesn't have to be a book, please, but just a brief story about your situation, your family, where you came from, what you faced there, some of the horror stories that you left from to escape. Let's hear it. We need to share your heart so these people understand what the truth is about who redoubters are. Coming to the safe haven, the refuge, the fallback position, when your culture is declaring war on you and your family and your values and our American heritage. Okay, so to be self-reliant, God-fearing Christian patriots that are strategically relocating intentionally. Not running out of fear, not trying to find a place to dig down in your bunker and wait for doomsday and survive it. No, we're going to get to the truth. And on the other hand, like I said yesterday in the show, what if somebody is a prepper? So what? It doesn't harm anyone if you're a prepper. But that's what they're trying to do to, you know, basically paint the picture that that's all redoubters are. So anyway, I'm definitely looking very forward to some of your stories. And also, I think those would make some outstanding interviews. And I've got a stack of interviews lined up that I'll be following up with this week to start lining those out and getting those put in place so we can do that. So, all right, there's several things I want to cover here. We'll do three segments. How's that sound? Let's start with the news and commentary brought to you by the author, Glenn Tate, and the 299 Days book series with all 10 books out, even on audio. So go check those out at 299days.com. And I've ran into several people who've begun rereading those series. Really good. From the Telegraph, North Korea now is continuing with its missile testing. Now their missile passes the re-entry test in a breakthrough for their nuclear program. And this basically means now that North Korea could definitely, easily, successfully launch an intercontinental ballistic missile so that it can go out of our atmosphere and drop back in wherever they want it to. This is a breakthrough. I'm telling you, something's got to be done about this guy. He needs to be smoked like a cheap cigar. They got to be stopped. Just there's no other way around it. Trump is gallivanting across the Middle East right now, meeting all the religious leaders. And something really interesting, if you guys haven't had a chance to go check out Pamela Geller, I want to encourage you to. Trump in Israel now is saying there's a great feeling for peace throughout the Middle East. And he's in Saudi yesterday, or the day before yesterday, he was in Saudi Arabia saying, everybody here is sick and tired of violence and killing, and everybody here wants peace. I don't know what planet he's on. I don't even know if he understands fully what part of the planet he's on. But he's not surrounded by people who want peace. They only want peace, and they only achieve peace when they've driven the Israelites into the sea, when they're completely destroyed. How many times have they come right out and said it? So this is just delusional. There's just a great feeling for peace throughout the Middle East. Really? I guess maybe that's easy to say when you're surrounded by, 12 different layers of security, and everybody's smiling and shaking your hand and looking you in the eye and telling you that they want peace. Well, they also want, $300 billion worth of military hardware to go to Saudi Arabia to help fight extremism. And who is it that's behind the building of all the mosques in America? The breeding ground for this Muslim invasion? The jumping off points? The forward operating bases? However you want to put it. So this is wild what's happening. On Pamela Geller and then the Denise Simon show, I had that pulled up yesterday, reading through that, and I need to put up some links. But I'm just looking at the headlines here. Swedish diplomats move national holiday to avoid a clash with Ramadan. They're absolutely becoming conquered. The Enemedia hits Trump for staying silent on human rights while in Saudi Arabia. Oh, yeah, that's the other thing that Trump was saying, was how much progress they're making toward women's rights, just extolling the Saudis for their human rights records and their attitudes toward women, making improvements for women's rights. And I'm shaking my head reading this. Saudis deny visas for Israeli and Jewish reporters covering Trump's visit. ISIS is now calling for jihadists to copycat the Times Square attack. Muslim migrants are behind 9 out of 10 shootings that happen in Sweden. Linda Sarsour, Muslim woman, goes on a taqiya spree saying Muhammad was a human rights activist. Muhammad was a feminist, and Muhammad was the first victim of Islamophobia. So now Muhammad is a victim. The world's going insane. It is absolutely going insane. You hold to the truth yourself. I'm telling you, this is a spiritual war. You're going to see it. I know sometimes I sound preachy, and I'm going to go over some scripture today. But, you're going to find out if you think, oh, John Jacob's kind of preachy. Well, you're going to find out the truth about where the dividing lines are and what these ideologies really are, where they come from. There's an interview I'm going to reference here from Ibn Thranholm. She is a Christian activist in Denmark, I believe. Accused of being a Russian spy and so on and so forth. She's talking about We're at the end of our existence. Europe is completely overran. I'll get to that in just a little bit. So let's move on here in the news. I've got, in the United States, feds are planning to use participation in 3% militia and Oath Keepers as evidence of conspiracy in the Bundy Ranch retrial. That's from Freedom Outpost. Great article over there. Very enlightening. We're going to put this in the highlights and resources posting for you to go and check out for yourself. The attorneys and Judge Gloria Navarro demonstrate that they have no shame in what they will do in their relentless pursuit of men charged with multiple accounts from the Bundy Ranch siege in 2014. In the latest move by the prosecution, they are seeking to use participation in their stand at Sugar Pine Mine in April of 2015, the White Hope Mine in August of 2015, and membership in the Idaho 3% militia against them in the retrial that's set for this summer. Please remember, Greg Burleson and Todd Engel, they were convicted, found guilty. This was unbelievable. Todd Engel got completely raked over the coals because of lack of representation. He had an absolute pathetic attorney, basically got thrown under the bus. So remember these guys in your prayers, the political prisoners that are being held. This was just absolutely heart-wrenching what happened to those guys, what continues to happen. So now just being in the Oath Keepers or just being in the 3% or in the militia, now they're going to be able to use that as evidence to help convict you of conspiracy just by being in those groups. This is very strategic, and it is intended to add a chilling effect on the rapid growth of the Patriot community, and especially the militia or tactical-oriented groups. Man, you got to stand strong. Here's a really good reason why people are moving out of these leftist strongholds. This was from Breitbart. The Association of School and College Leaders has published a pamphlet asking educators to show sensitivity to Muslims during the month of Ramadan. The body, which represents some 18,000 head teachers and college leaders, according to Mail Online, recommends schools reschedule revision classes and redesign physical education lesson plans in order to take the religious sensibilities of Muslim pupils into account. Islam forbids eating and drinking during daylight hours during the month of Ramadan. Okay, fine. So then let them not eat or drink during Ramadan. Oh, no, not good enough. The ASCL advises invigilators not to recommend pupils in hot exam rooms take even a tiny sip of water unless they appear to be suffering from dehydration, in case this offends Muslims undertaking the fast. Because a Muslim chooses not to eat or drink during the day. If you're not a Muslim, well, if you're facilitating these testing and these courses, don't put them in a hot room, because then people will be tempted to drink water. And if they do, just take a tiny sip so you don't offend Muslims. And only if you appear to be suffering from dehydration can you take a tiny sip of water. I am not going to participate in this cultural jihad. This is just so sad. That's not even the word for it, but it's tragic what's happening actually. Okay, let's take a break. I'm going to come back. We're going to talk about something that came out on Western Rifle Shooters this week. A website, New Communist Revolutionary Group. Be warned, this is the future in America. It's titled itsgoingdown.org. That and more when we come back here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go away.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
One podcast dares to be different.
This is segment two, brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping the Patriots get strategically relocated deep into the heart of the American Redoubt. If you are looking at the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho, go to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com, Patriot-owned business to help you make your move. And of course, that's North Idaho, which borders Montana on one side and Liberty on the other. If you guys have not done so, please go to the link there and vote for the state flag and the state seal for Liberty State. And we're going to probably just stop the poll. And that's sponsored by Radio Free Redoubt and Patriot Radio are running this poll. The website is being developed right now for Liberty State. And once we hit 1,000 voters, we're going to stop it. And whichever flag has the most votes and the state seal, whichever has the most votes. There are plans, and this was brought up last night as well at the meeting, plans to start producing flags, state flags for Liberty State. And then the public information campaign will be accelerated and moving full steam ahead. So we'll see. Oh, man, I better not say anything more because there's kind of some strategy behind the timing of the release of some of this stuff. So I won't get into that, but yeah, Liberty State. Go to the Facebook page, and we'll link that in the highlights and resources posting as well, so you'll be able to have that. Now let's look at the this new itsgoingdown.org. It's called the Revolutionary Abolitionist Movement. Now, it's kind of similar. Pay attention to the terminology that's being used. Very obviously communist-influenced, communist-revolutionary-influenced, much like we saw in South Africa, but only instead of abolitionist, it's apartheid. Okay, revolutionary anti-apartheid movements. Well, here we've got revolutionary abolitionist movements. So they're using the apartheid, the rule of a single ethnic group, and apartheid was white rule. Only whites could hold public office and so on and so forth. Okay, they got rid of it. Someone said that's unjust. It's not right. It's not righteous. We are going to do away with apartheid. Well, now in South Africa, oh, it's not good enough. No, it's not good enough because it was so bad. You have to make reparations, like die, then we'll be satisfied. Well, in the United States, we had slavery. We didn't have officially apartheid, but we had slavery. Well, we abolished slavery, hence the abolitionist movement. Realize that's not just. It's not righteous. We are going to do away with it. No longer will we be able to have slavery in this country. And we're going to afford them all of the rights, privileges, and opportunities of any other American citizen. And since then, all races have had the same opportunities to absolutely flourish and prosper. And so many of them have. But that's not good enough. 150 years later, 200 years later, reparations need to be made, and they are going militant to make sure that it happens. So this is from itsgoingdown.org. I'll read it to you. We are announcing the formation of the revolutionary abolitionist movement and putting out a call to those seeking freedom. Freedom? They don't have freedom now? Who are committed to abolishing slavery and who desire liberation for all. Interesting. If they really want to abolish slavery, maybe they should go visit the folks in the Middle East. The United States was built on slavery, and despite the American Civil War, this oppression never ended. What? We still have slavery? I didn't know that. Okay, the abolitionist movement fought against this tyranny, but modern slavery and mass brutality persist unchecked. Well, in a way, there is kind of a modern slavery. It's called welfare, and that is intended to keep you down. It is not a system really designed to help you reach your full potential. Now, if you choose to go after your potential, regardless of what color you are, in America, the sky is the limit. That's me talking. That's not in their work here. Around the world, fascism is on the rise. Of course it is. That's what every communist says. The state has openly declared war on our communities. Wow. That's a bold statement. The state has openly declared war on their communities. I'm not watching the same news headlines or same blogs as you because I've not seen the state openly declare war on their communities, threatening to ethnically cleanse Latinos, criminalize Muslims, destroy indigenous land, and oppress the LGBTQ community while continuing to murder and incarcerate black people. Let me remind you, it is the black community who is murdering black people, because you have the largest proportion of abortions that are taking place. You're murdering your own babies. So who's declared war on black people? I think you're a little misguided here. The revolutionary abolitionist movement unequivocally states that the plantation system must be destroyed. Now we got plantations now. The anarchist struggle, anti-state feminism is on the rise. The authoritarian modes of resistance are now discredited. So now they appeal to the plight of the Syrian people. So revolutionary abolitionists must fight hand in hand with those facing oppression. We intend to establish a new underground railroad to free people from bondage by building revolutionary self-defense networks, connecting them to one another, and developing militant strategies in our neighborhoods. Communist revolutionary groups openly declaring they're going to be developing militant strategies in their neighborhoods. Where's the ethnic cleansing coming from? They go on. Our network will create the capacity to destroy state power and defend our communities. A new global paradigm for revolution has been established. If this isn't globalist communist influenced, man, follow the money trail. What would you be surprised if this went back to Soros? Okay, so a new global paradigm for revolution has been established to be taken up by dedicated revolutionaries, autonomous territories, guerrillas in armed struggle, and all those engaged in global drive toward liberation and away from statehood, capitalism, patriarchy, and domination. In other words, they wish to overthrow our government. They wish to overthrow our capitalistic society and replace it with communism. Patriarchy. So if you are a male in a position of power or elected position, you've just been declared the enemy. And domination. A new global paradigm for revolution has been established to be taken up by dedicated revolutionaries. Autonomous territories, you get this? Autonomous territories, guerrillas in armed struggle, and all those who engage in the global drive towards domination. We call on anti-state groups to join the revolutionary abolitionist movement to send this message to our comrades to help build the capacity to burn down the American plantation once and for all. Now, I'm just curious, where does the ACLU and where does the SPLC stand on this openly overt declaration of war against America and everything it stands for? To overthrow the state, to fight using guerrillas in an armed struggle to create autonomous territories in the United States. Now, I guarantee the FBI is all over this and sitting up straight. It will be very interesting to watch. And because FBI, you better be taking note of this. You better be all over this. This is an open, overt declaration of war against America and American people and American ideals. So, do your job. I know, FBI, they're Boy Scouts. Anything that's against the law, the FBI are statists. I mean, they are legalitarians. if the law says it, they don't question it. It's not whether it's unconstitutional. They're just they'll carry it out, which means they're going to be coming after these guys too, just like the FBI agents that have been going after the mosques and the Muslim threat. They see it for what it is. It's illegal. It's unlawful, and they're pursuing it. And then they're told, back off. And they're frustrated about this. Well, I'm very curious to know, and I may or may not ever hear directly from any of the FBI agents that are pursuing this. It would be interesting, though, if you could share some insight as to, and under this administration, look, the Trump administration is going to be absolutely behind the enforcement, or I guess the pursuing of justice against this group and all the supporters. But in a few years from now, we're going to have a different regime. And that's when groups like this will be empowered. The people that are going to have to be defending their neighborhoods and protecting their own are not going to be the communist revolutionaries. And this is why we're changing so fast. America, the world is changing so quickly. If there was ever a case for arming yourself and developing skills, defensive skills, this is it right now. So the short-term goal is the Underground Railroad saying we will create networks for those facing detention, incarceration, deportation, or white supremacist violence to escape and live with dignity. We invite revolutionaries to help build a contemporary Underground Railroad outside the reach of the state. Revolutionaries, social centers, and Antifa groups that are already active can help build greater infrastructure of resistance to support those fleeing the state. In other words, we're going to break the law, and when we're fugitives, we're going to help hide you. From this foundation, we set the political framework for the next stages. The long-term goal is building the abolitionist project. Listen to this. For it to be successful, they must eventually transition from a resistance to a revolutionary situation. Relationships and groups built through the Underground Railroad have the potential to become the foundation for organized defense groups, they're calling it, local councils, and regional national councils. We invite comrades to coordinate our activities regionally and nationally as part of an abolitionist council. The political foundation, self-defense, defense of oppressed people, and our political projects is paramount. We propose developing and trying defensive teams to localities and tying defense teams to localities and collectives, another communist word, that are based on abolitionist practices. The neighborhood council, as the Underground Railroad network grows outside the jurisdiction of the state and reactionary forces, it is built through non-hierarchical relationships, that means a cellular structure, based on trust. Collectives and councils developed according to the needs, issues, and political motivation involve people in neighborhood self-governance. Conflict resolution and revolutionary justice. Forms of conflict resolution are essential for developing revolutionary relationships. Social cohesion rather than punishment. Abolition of gender. The same forces that put people in bondage also utilize gender roles as a source of domination. Overcoming imprisonment and liberating humanity from captivity must happen simultaneously with the abolition of gender constraints, whatever that means. And expropriation and the cooperative economy. Listen to this. Their long-term goal, intermediate to long-term goal, to carve out an autonomous territory or to begin the revolutionary process, goods, land, and tools must be expropriated or taken away from those who withhold them. We are striving towards a situation where necessities cannot be taken away from those who need them, but instead are shared with those who lack them. We are going to forcibly take, expropriate things from you, whether it's land, tools, resources, to give to those who need. It's interesting that in South Africa, they're talking about reappropriating land to give to the blacks to take away from the whites, who are actually the minority in that country because of their anti-apartheid. Now it's reparations for apartheid. Well, remember what I said in what's happening in South Africa is about 10 years out from what you could see in America. It's on their doorstep. Now, it's true that as far as the Sidelanders and their nationwide disaster or bug out plan, they are outnumbered there 9 to 1. About 8 to 9% are white, and the blacks make up about 80%. And in the United States, you, even though this is a black militant group, and gosh, the communists are working so hard to cause racial division. And unfortunately, so many people are gullible and falling for it. In the United States, somebody says, yeah, but we don't have to worry about that because there's way more of us than there are of them. In this, it's unlike South Africa. So it wouldn't really work out for them. But in South Africa, where they got 80 to 90% of the population, well, then that's a real danger for a minority group that's been targeted for extermination. So, but, you know, it's we don't have that situation in the United States. But I want to remind you, there are certain parts of our country where those demographics are reflective of those types of numbers. And if enough people are influenced by this communist revolutionary rhetoric, it could cause some people to be motivated. Some people could be motivated enough by that rhetoric to actually carry out and inflict harm on other people just because of the color of their skin. So we've been making progress in our country, continuous progress, where the racial divides were basically just being eliminated in terms of one group being oppressed by another. But now enter the communist revolutionaries, the agitators, the dividers, to pit the members of our culture against each other. That's a communist tactic, to destroy America by turning classes against other classes, races against other races, and fomenting a godless environment and a godless culture. And I'm going to talk about that in the next segment. An article that the Spokesman Review did a while back called Shay's Rebellion, Speak Out versus Shay's Rebellion, referencing Representative Matt Shay. But it really is a spiritual war that we're in. And I'm going to break that down when we get back. Stay right there.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
And here we are with the third and final segment, segment three, which is brought to you by strategiclandscapedesign.com. Before you commit to purchasing your property, they will walk the land with you to gain firsthand knowledge of the different opportunities that your property will offer and, of course, some of the restrictions and constraints that that property might have to help you decide if it might be right for you. They have a purchase service where they will help evaluate the land. Pre-purchase property evaluation is what it's called. And actually, I have some public service announcements from them that I want to run because it's really useful, helpful tips. And I won't be able to do that this week. I got totally sidetracked. Blindsided by yesterday afternoon with my schedule, but give them a call today. strategiclandscapedesign.com. They have several great services over there, so check him out. And a good God-fearing, Christian-owned, patriot-owned business as well, right here in the American Redoubt. Okay, let's get to this article that I started to get into on the Saturday show on ACN. What it is basically, it's another hit piece on Representative Matt Shea, patriot, which is actually, I was talking to him and he said, you know, it doesn't actually really bother me. I mean, nobody likes being lied about or, you know, being maligned, but he's saying every single time they try running a hit piece on me, he says the donations come rolling in for my election campaign. He says every time they try to hit me, I get hit with another burst of election campaign donations. I'm like, well, that's kind of a rough way to raise money, but hey, why not? That's kind of actually backfiring on the leftist editors that are trying to push this anti-patriot narrative, anti-Matt Shea narrative. So good for him. That's good to know. But anyway, I want to read this article. First of all, they mention that Representative Matt Shea doesn't extend this courtesy of, you know, not thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican. They quote Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, which is thou shalt not speak ill of a fellow Republican. This is a leftist newspaper writing this. So they continue, but it's not like Shea extends this courtesy to others. Also, now a leftist publication is looking out for the Republican Party. Look, here's a guy that's not following your Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, speaking ill of a fellow Republican. On his campaign website, he makes some election recommendations, including this comment. Kathy McMorris Rogers has endorsed against and or opposed every good conservative in this area and voted for things antithetical to constitutional conservatism. The leftist Socialist Review doesn't want patriot elected officials pointing out Republicans that are not voting constitutionally, because the party has changed significantly. It has moved to the center at best, and anyone to the right of center is a right-wing extremist. And conservative patriots have a duty to point out when someone they think is conservative and looking out for them is not doing so, because the Republican Party has been infiltrated by rhinos, Republicans in name only, who are not holding up to constitutional standards in many cases, and they're compromising. They're compromising our values, they're compromising our ideals, and they're compromising our country and our regions and our communities in the process. So, this is where this article goes now to attack the Spokane Valley City Council, by saying they may consider changing its oath for office holders to include a promise to refuse to enforce any law that, quote, I deem to be unconstitutional, even if it's upheld by the courts or I'm ordered to do so by my superiors. This whole hit piece really hit heavily on those patriots who, let me read on, because in this article they say that way lies anarchy. For somebody, they surmise that the Spokane Valley City Council may consider changing its oath. And of course, they think they're being funny here. Refuse to enforce any law that I deem to be unconstitutional. And they're saying that way lies anarchy, and it captures the essence of Shea's rebellion. Well, the article goes on to say Shea wants constitutional sheriffs who would impose their legal interpretations, which would subvert the courts and all lawmaking bodies. Okay, so what they're worried about is that somebody can interpret the Constitution besides the courts, who are heavily inundated by leftists, political revolutionaries. And so they're upholding things that are unconstitutional and unlawful and saying, no, this is constitutional. You violated this person's constitutional right to this young boy's constitutional right to undress in a girl's locker room. You know, you can't have that law. That's unconstitutional. You cannot ban boys from girls' locker rooms. You violated their constitutional rights, which, of course, there's nowhere in the Constitution. They write, the constitutionalists, patriots, and birchers who couldn't gain traction within their own enclaves have joined the GOP to spread this dangerous narrative. Actually, this dangerous narrative, which is to have people taking office who will uphold the Constitution and defy unconstitutional laws, is very American. The truth of the matter is the GOP has been joined by and infiltrated by leftists. So anybody who still is in the GOP who stands for the Constitution and the rule of law have now somehow been infiltrated by constitutionalists and patriots. These guys are so twisted and backwards. So they say, Republicans who have refused to fight back, who have chosen to remain silent, have made it easy for them. Accommodation has become capitulation. Well, they're actually right. Accommodation has become capitulation. But for a different reason. Republicans accommodating the leftist agenda is capitulation. And the problem is we have too many capitulators and patriots like Representative Matt Shea point that out. And now he's the problem. He is the, leading the way toward anarchy. When a sheriff can say, wait, I'm not enforcing that. That's unconstitutional. When a city council can say, oh, we are not going to abide by that mandate because that is unconstitutional. Who are you to understand what the Constitution even says? Because the courts have ruled that this or that thing is constitutional. So therefore, you must obey. Well, what happens when the judge rules that all firearms that are black and receive a detachable magazine are now unlawful and it's constitutional? Because you can still own firearms, you just can't have that one. So this law is hereby constitutional. So they're the only ones that are so enlightened that can interpret the Constitution. And if we oppose them, we're headed toward anarchy. No, if we don't oppose them, we are headed toward total tyranny. Let me read you some quotes about the Constitution. We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. That was by Abraham Lincoln. Did you get that? We are the masters of Congress and the courts, to overthrow the men who pervert the Constitution. So when a court makes a ruling claiming that it's constitutional and it is a perversion, we, the people, are the rightful masters that have a duty to overthrow them. Not to overthrow the Constitution, the men who pervert it. Albert Einstein said, the strength of the Constitution lies entirely in the determination of each citizen to defend it. Only if every single citizen feels duty-bound to do his share in this defense are the constitutional rights secure. Albert Einstein, pretty smart guy, said that only if every single citizen feels duty-bound to do his share in the defense of the Constitution are those rights secure. John Marshall, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principle, supposed to be essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts, as well as other departments, are bound by that instrument. But what we're actually seeing is courts upholding laws that are repugnant to the Constitution. They are bound by that instrument, the Constitution, but they've perverted it. And now we have judges and societal whims carrying out, legislating from the bench, essentially, twisting it. Joseph Story said this, how easily men satisfy themselves that the Constitution is exactly what they wish it to be. So they can declare anything they want, whatever the societal whim is at the time or leftist agenda that they're on, and wave their wand and say, this is constitutional. Or this patriot over here is acting unconstitutionally. Having a firearm on his person is, he's in violation of the law because of this law that was passed saying he can't carry one on him. That's an unconstitutional law, but I uphold it. Unbelievable what's happening. I want to point something out here. Here's one of dozens of real-world cases that I have here. This is from the document. It's Washington.gov. State Supreme Court rules Richland Flower Shop discriminated against gay couple. You should be exercising prejudice based on your beliefs and your ideals, and if you're a Christian, God's law. But the state Supreme Court ruled that she discriminated. The Christian owner of Arlene's Flowers, a Richland floral shop, violated state laws. Remember what we said up here earlier? A law that is repugnant to the Constitution is basically null and void. But this violation of state law, when she refused to make custom arrangements for a longtime customer, his wedding, an appellate court ruled that the unanimous decision by the Washington State Supreme Court affirms a Benton County judge's ruling in 2013. So let me try to re-put that back together. She has violated a state law, which is unconstitutional, because yesterday I read Washington State's Constitution, and this is what it says. Article 1, Section 11, Religious Freedom. Absolute freedom of conscience in all matters of religious sentiment, belief, and worship shall be guaranteed to every individual, and no one shall be molested or disturbed in person or property on account of religion. But the liberty of conscience hereby secured shall not be so construed as to excuse acts of licentiousness or justify practices inconsistent with the peace and safety of the state. So, in other words, you can't, sacrifice and eat children and say, oh, it's my religious belief. Okay, so there's obviously limitations, but those limitations have to be consistent with, well, the Word of God. And here's just what it says, shall be guaranteed to every individual. Absolute freedom of conscience shall be guaranteed. Guaranteed by whom? Hereby secured. Secured by whom? Secured by the state and guaranteed by the state. It is blatantly obvious that the state's responsibility is to guarantee and to secure these rights. That's their job. Section 11, religious freedom. That law is an unconstitutional law. So a sheriff that would refuse to arrest her by saying that is unconstitutional, that is now an enemy of the state, an enemy of the statists, because you are just a lowly sheriff. Who are you to make a ruling on what's constitutional and what's not? That's for the courts to decide. What you're doing is calling for pure anarchy. If you yourself think you can interpret the Constitution, but it was written for all of us to know what it means and what it says. And this is what this woman says, Stutzman. In an interview, she said, when you think that the government is coming to tell you what to think and what to do, we should all be very, very scared, she says. And she's right, because it is pure tyranny when they're coming for you. But you're not in the wrong. They are in the wrong. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And there was some mourning that was taking place because wicked people are ruling and bringing criminal charges against a woman for exercising her not just constitutional right, her God-given right to all matters of religious sentiment and conscience. And they are duty-bound to protect her and that right, and they failed because of an unconstitutional law that a judge deemed constitutional. So how do you make this determination? Once again, we go back to the Word of God. Romans chapter 13 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. But there's something wrong here, isn't there? The rulers were actually doing a terror to good works. They were actually defending and upholding the evil. And now we have a citizen who is afraid of the power because we have wicked people in power. Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. Well, she did that which is good, and she was tyrannized for it. For he is the minister of God for you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath on him that does evil. But then now we have a government that's actually done the opposite. They were a revenger to execute wrath on she who does righteousness. There's a serious problem there. King Jehoshaphat, he made this decree. So Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he appointed judges. He set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city. And he said to the judges, take heed to what you're doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you, judges. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. I've covered this stuff before, but it's worth repeating and going back to and reminding ourselves of. They're maligning and demonizing those who stand for righteousness and the rule of law and the Constitution, while those who distort and twist and pervert the Constitution and the meaning of it have been placed in positions of power as judges, making those kind of judgments. You heard the warning against judges. You judge in the fear of the Lord. Basically, it's like the perfect setup for judgment on our culture. Very interesting times that we are living in, are they not? Okay, guys, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. You have a blessed week. I've got a ton of work to do, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you guys for your prayers and for your support. We're so grateful for you being out there. And thank you also for your patience in my delay getting this up and posted and produced. But it was a very worthwhile time to spend last night at that meeting. So some great things were discussed, and it just was for the best. So anyway, thank you guys. All right, God bless. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.